You're friends with Chris Rock, right?
Yeah. I mean,
didn't you guys go to dinner the other day or something?
Yes. Yeah. I saw him at breakfast.
What do you mean you saw him?
Did you guys
sleep over?
100%. Cheers.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplish something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
It's a brand new episode of Two Bears, One Cave. It's Two Bears, Two Cubs, and One Cave. My daughters, Georgia and Nyla, are here to start off Two Bears, One Cave. I'm sitting with the greatest skateboarder alive, Tony Hawk.
Wow, thank you.
And my daughters have only one time have said they got mad at me that I didn't introduce them. I've introduced them to everyone. Everyone, and they just like, hi, good to meet you. And I was like, that was Howie fucking Mandel. And they're like, cool. And then you came and left last time, and they're like,
well, why did you exclude me? That's the question.
Well, they were just,
you
I
said
was
they
like,
met everyone, and then I didn't.
I feel like they just got tired of it. So do you guys have any questions for Tony or Isla? Come on in.
Do you ever look at the kids trying to skate and like get embarrassed for them?
Never.
Oh.
Not at all. I was that kid. I was a kid who was terrible at skating and I refused to quit.
Hated school.
I didn't hate school. I just, I can't say I hated school. It was just more like once I got into high school and skating was taking off, it was hard to do both well. Yeah. So I kind of went towards skating more.
Would you, if one of your kids said, did your kids go to college?
A couple of them, yeah.
If one of your kids was like, that's it, Dad, I know what I want to do. It's not dot, dot, dot. Knowing that it worked for you,
yes.
Do you still have like a little trepidation?
No.
Going like.
No, because I know what it's like to follow your passion and it's worth it.
That was your question? Yes. Oh, go ahead and ask it.
No, that was it.
So what would be your passion, ladies? Like if you had to quit college right now, Georgia, and just go do something you absolutely fucking love, what would it be?
Work at Yosemite.
That's pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool, but there's no chances of like a video game getting made out of that.
But like, that's not what she's aspiring to.
I know, so but I only want them to follow their dreams if their dreams are going to make millions. Like I don't want you to follow like mediocre dreams. What's your dream?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah?
No, I don't know yet. I'll figure it out at one point, but
it was the funnest moment as a dad is when they decided they wanted to try to learn how to skateboard. And they just would skateboard up and down the driveway.
I don't remember how to skateboard now.
You don't remember?
No.
It's right there.
Scary.
Yeah. So, but they would go back and forth and it was just fun as a dad. Like those types of things as a dad are fun. Did you ever, were you controlling of your kids when it came to skateboarding of like, hey, like the way a baseball dad is?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yes, it's funny because all of my kids skate. I have five boys.
Your son Riley is in your masterclass video.
He's a pro skater, yes.
Yeah.
And then I have a daughter and she skated with me for a bit. And then at some point it was like, it doesn't seem like any of my friends skate. And I'm only skating with my dad, and that kind of, she got out of it then.
Yeah.
But all the other boys, they kept skating. And at some point I was trying to give them advice, basic advice for tricks that they, you know, crucial tricks they want to learn. And they don't want to hear it from me.
Yeah.
Not at all. And someone else would tell them, one of their peers would tell them the exact same thing I told them. And they'd be like, oh, okay. And they figure it out. And I was like, that's what I was telling you, but it's not cool for me.
Do you think one of my daughters should go into comedy, Tony? And which one?
Not by the looks on those faces.
No. All right, ladies. All right, we're going to do a podcast. I love you guys. I love you guys.
Thank you.
I'll grab you. Maybe you
nice,
guys.
Yeah. Yes, nice to finally meet you.
Hi. Nice to meet you. She came home with a nose ring. And it drove me fucking nuts.
Why are you whispering?
Because she's still in the room.
Oh, okay. But this is like going out to the world, so.
No, yeah, well, I know, but she's not listening to Two Bears. New episode of Two Bears, guys.
Okay,
We figured Tom has the moniker as the most famous injured dude in the world. Tony Hawk's got the new fucking, the broken femur.
Yeah, that was.
Femur's a game changer,
that was
bro.
A big one.
Femur's a game changer.
It has definitely changed what I'm capable of doing and how I view the future, yes.
So how did you break it the first time? Doing a... I know you've talked about this a ton. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
But I followed it because you got it. You broke your femur, and I felt like such a fucking pussy because all I did was rip the tendons off my arm, my tricep. I ripped my tricep off my arm, and I was such... It took me forever to recover. And then I watched you, and you were already skateboarding, and I was like...
Yeah, well, that was my mistake.
Now I go,
yeah.
Thank God I'm not like Tony Hawk. Yeah.
So I broke it in March in half doing a failed McTwist. And it was, I had a few, exhibitions and things that were scheduled for not too far out. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, I'm going to make it to those. That's the goal.
Yeah.
And so I had this goal in mind and I got on my board too soon. I should have known better. I mean, really, I think the first sign of trouble was that I was limping up to the ramp and then skating. And then dropping shit. In. And so
you figure there's not, I mean, you would figure jogging's one thing, skating's okay.
I could never run either.
Okay.
And I didn't, none of those red flags were really, I was paying attention to.
Yeah.
But I was able to skate because I could sort of put most of my weight on my back foot and keep just about 30% on my front to make it work. But it wasn't like I was skating at full capacity.
Yeah. Were you worried about falling?
Not really, because I was told that your leg will ever be stronger. It's got titanium in there.
Yeah.
And I was like, here we go. That's all I needed to hear. And then at some point, I remember actually the day it happened, I stepped off and I kind of put all my weight on that foot and I felt the bone move positions. And in that time, I was like, oh, that was bad, but it'll be okay because I still have that rod in there and keeping it together. But the bone had shifted almost like off kilter completely.
Good God.
And it never came back. And it never connected.
Never connected.
Never connected.
And so then you've had the surgery already that to fix it.
Yeah, but
right?
But it wasn't until about 7 or 8 months into my recovery, that I felt like I wasn't making progress. I was always in pain. I'd literally have to take a painkiller to walk through an airport.
Yeah, well, that's called flying.
I'm talking to the wrong guy for that.
Okay.
But then I just said something feels wrong. This doesn't feel like the trajectory of how a recovery should go. So I went and got x-rays and it had actually moved further away. So there was just this gap in my two femurs now. And I went to a specialist and he said, oh, I would just go back in there, realign it, take your hardware out, realign it, put new hardware in. And he sounded so confident that I was like, I want to do that. Whatever you said, I want to do that. And I scheduled surgery 2 weeks later. And I am now a month into that. And I am walking.
So you had a surgery a month ago?
I had surgery a month ago. I'm walking better than I was.
Holy shit.
Before that surgery.
But what is it about you guys that makes you guys not notice injury?
We're used to pushing through pain, but this pain was so intense that I thought somehow that I was just immune to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it hurts, but, and I wasn't listening to that at all. And I, at my age, of course, I should have been.
How old are you?
50? I'm 54.
54?
Yeah.
Was there any part of you that was like, oh my God, maybe I'm turning into an old man? Because I think that about myself every fucking day. Every fucking day I go, like, I can't lose weight. I just cannot lose weight. And I work out every single day. I eat horrible. I drink a lot, but I burn calories every fucking day and I can't lose weight. And I had my cardiologist told me to go on testosterone. He was like, hey, man, you're not getting any younger. Your levels are shit. You should go on testosterone. And I was like, but what if I get cancer? And he goes, oh, yeah, it'll speed it. But, what are we going to do here?
Take the good with the bad.
Yeah. He's like, well, how many years do you think you have left? And I was like, I'm like, motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm not having those conversations.
You think about getting on testosterone?
No, not yet. No,
but even just getting to help repair things.
I do. I come from a bloodline of high cholesterol and heart disease. So
me too. What's your cholesterol?
I take a statin. I don't know what the number is. I take a statin.
What's your statin?
What is it?
Yeah, I take a
12. Crestor.
Okay. How many milligrams?
10.
Okay, I'm on 20. I just got my blood work back last week.
And then I also take a supplement to counter that, Q-Nol CoQ10.
What do you mean to counter it?
Well, to keep my levels normal.
Really?
Yeah. So,
oh, wow. So you don't mind going to the doctor?
Well, I don't mind it.
I hate it. Like when I have a doctor's appointment, I start having anxiety a week out, and then I start training for it. Like I stop drinking, I start eating clean.
it's like when you go to the dentist and you brush your teeth and floss them endlessly for the couple days before.
Yeah. And I get really ready for my appointment, and then I go in and I lie to him. He's like, how's it been lately? What I always do is it's been rough. I've been on the road pretty aggressively. And then I said, but I didn't drink all of October. And I brought my fucking wife with me like an idiot last time. And she's behind me, and I go, and I barely drank in November. And she went, I went, what are you doing? She's like, well, why are you lying to your doctor? I go, I'm not lying to him. I'm telling him the truth I want him to hear. Like, I don't want to tell him
truth I want him to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. So if my liver enzymes are up, I want him to think it's my medication and not my drinking.
Wow.
So I
think because it's not that I like going to the doctor. It's more that, for instance, I just had my first checkup for my new surgery, bone's still in line.
Yeah.
I'm feeling way better than I was. I don't limp endlessly. And so I keep waiting for him to say, okay, your bone is connected. Go for it. So my next appointment is a month away. I am counting the days.
Yeah.
For that. So I'm looking forward to seeing the doctor more because I want him to say, looks good.
Yeah.
Go skate.
Oh, fuck.
Everything else is incidental to that.
So wait,
the blood work and stuff like that.
When you do find that when you're not skating, you have it like you feel like rudderless.
I don't feel rudderless, but it's hard. It's because that was my exercise of choice too. So
it's the coolest exercise there could be.
Yeah,
the
by coolest, default,
the fucking coolest. Yeah. I've always said to myself, I want to learn how to skate vert ramps because I could do it all day long.
Yeah.
Like it's something that I would go, oh yeah, I just do this all day long. I get up and go, I'm going to skate vert ramps all fucking day long. I can't even ollie. Like that's how bad of a skateboarder I am.
You can't say you're bad because you can't ollie.
Fucking children can ollie.
Well, sure. But they practice it endlessly.
Yeah.
Tony, from the generation that the ollie wasn't even created until I was 12 or 13.
I was in ninth grade the first time I ever saw a dude ollie.
Right.
And it was also the first time I was introduced to pussy. And I was like, I can either learn how to ollie or start fingering chicks. I was like, I'm going to learn how to finger chicks.
Why couldn't you have a healthy balance of both?
Well, by the way, I fingered people as bad as I ollie. I would just put it in and leave it there. But like I was taking her temperature. Perfect. I've gotten much better at fingering women. I got a little rubber stoppers to go on the wheels so the wheels wouldn't turn to learn how to ollie. I've ollied in grass. I've ollied in carpet. I've done everything I could to learn how to ollie.
But if you were to stick with it, you would have gotten there.
I just gave up. It's fucking so hard.
I am not. Yeah, I'll agree with you there. It's super hard.
Because you push down, but you got to take this foot.
You got to slide it. It's all timing. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have that timing down. This is going to sound
I can teach you how to ollie.
No, you couldn't.
I could. I could.
Okay. I'll take you up on that. It's right there. Yeah. I'm barefoot. I'll put on shoes. When we get done, I'll let you show me how to ollie.
Okay.
I have a balance board. I do a balance board every morning
that doesn't
for
3 help.
Minutes. Okay. Hey, do you remember, this is going to be an off kilter question, but do you remember when you first started seeing black dudes skating?
It was early. Yeah.
I felt like it wasn't until like 91 that you started seeing like the inner city in New York skateboarding
sort of street skating. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you there. It was largely a white dude.
I remember.
I've talked to a bunch of skaters, especially ones that are prominent now.
Now it seems including so diverse. Skating is so diverse.
Yeah. And you can't even say like there's some race or culture that owns it. It's just,
it's everyone.
It's everywhere. And it's all, that's why I love it. It's a great equalizer.
Really is. It's kind of the coolest thing when like, it sounds silly, but you know, I came from Tampa and we weren't very diverse. I mean, as diverse as Tampa is, it was predominantly Cuban and white. And then there were pockets of things, but mostly everyone I grew up with was Cuban or white. And I mean redneck or Cuban.
Have you ever left a cart full of items in an online store because shipping was too expensive? I've actually done that a lot. It's almost like I feel like I do that more than buy them. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. Just ask our very own Josh Zolo, whose entire wireless production facility plan lifestyle has been completely revamped and overwhelmed by Mint Mobile savings. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I remember finding out Christian Hosoi was Asian. And I was like, oh, fuck, yeah. And I bought his board. And I was like, that's so fucking cool. Like, I didn't, like, in my head, I just didn't know any Asian kids. I knew Samuel Ho. But then, and then I saw a picture of Christian Hosoi with that fucking hair. You know, I've texted him because of the last time we did a podcast. I've texted back and forth with Christian Hosoi.
Really?
Do you know how crazy that is?
That's sick.
I had his board.
He's amazing.
That's fucking so insane.
Yeah.
That like he texted me. He's like, hey man, I think I can't remember how this goes because I get a lot of DMs from people. But like, he was like, I heard you shout me out or in the podcast. I'd love the podcast. And I was like, fuck yes. I haven't gotten together with them, but I'm on the road. But yeah, that was like the coolest time is like when the movie Kids came out and you saw the inner city skateboarding.
Yeah, I think that definitely shed some light on it, but it was already happening in the background. I mean, those days skating was really underground. So anything that was happening, you weren't going to see it on mainstream media or TV or whatever. But there was a moment, I mean, I actually talked to Pharrell about this on his podcast recently where
Pharrell was a big skateboarder.
He skated in the underground days.
Yeah.
Big time. And you know, everyone in his neighborhood and his peers were like, it's a white boy sport. Like, what are you doing on that white boy sport? And at some point that changed dramatically. I would say through late 90s. I mean, some people say that our video game helped introduce them to and change that notion a little bit too, which I'm proud of, but I wouldn't take full credit for that. I just think it's cool that I always felt like it had this element that it wasn't elitist. Mm-mm. You just buy a skateboard and you're in, you know what I mean? It's not like you have to be part of a club or you have to pay some dues. It's just like, yeah, whatever. And everyone through and through has been judged on their talents.
Yeah.
Not on their backgrounds.
Yeah.
And so I love it for that. For that,
I think it's the coolest thing. I think the thing I think that's interesting, like a deck's a deck, right?
Yeah.
Like can you notice the difference? I remember the first time Jody Foster. Who is that guy? He had a triangle for a logo. Something Foster's Army. Something Foster's Army.
JFA.
JFA.
That was his homie.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing his board and the sides went up. Every other board was flat, like a Michael J. Fox board.
Yeah.
And his sides went up on the side. And I went, what the fuck's this? And they're like, oh, it's
I think that's just because you were getting cheap skateboards and then you finally saw a pro skateboard.
Christian Hussoy's was, no, Chris Hussoy's was tilted. No,
I mean, they were flat when we started and then concave started happening. So,
concave, that's right. Concave, yeah.
But the concave now is kind of, they went to the extremes and then they finally kind of found what works. And so that's where we're at now. And most boards are generally the same kick and concave with some subtle differences.
Do you notice the differences?
Oh, sure. But that's because I've been riding the same skateboard for the last 15 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Your
same
skateboard.
Same shape, same setup.
And that's because you like it?
Yeah. I just found that's what works for me. And I can set up a whole new board, trucks and wheels and everything, and ride it right away.
Really?
Like, I don't need to break it in.
Oh, and so are there a difference in trucks?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, are there cheap trucks?
There are cheap trucks, but really most of it is in the bushings.
Bushings? What's the bushings?
The bushings are...
That rubber thing?
Yeah, the rubber that's separating the hanger from the base plate. How that's made, the hardness of it, and how much it'll bounce back is key.
Yeah. It's such a fucking... But you're right. It is such an accessible sport.
Yeah.
And it's the funnest.
And the cool thing is that you don't have to follow some practice regimen. You don't have to have these certain tricks to be... do it in your own style. It's like art. Just do it however you want to do it. Make it whatever you want. And you can still be part of this community that will support you and that will be excited to do it with you to see what you have.
Yeah. Do you find a correlation between comedy and skateboarding?
Sure. Yeah.
Like, cause I was talking to you. Do you know Mark Norman?
Yeah. He was on our podcast.
Have you ever seen him skate?
Yeah.
Yeah. He can skate, pull up.
I want to say he did 360 flip, no slide. Is that what he told me? Look at that.
Yeah.
Do a kickflip.
He's going to love these ledges.
I think that ledge is
well, he, but he also, like he was in skate videos as a kid.
Oh, for
like
real?
Like he really thought that was going to be his calling.
Switch. Who are you talking to?
But yeah, he came on our Hawk versus Wolf podcast.
Woo. He's, it's such a, I remember the first time me and my buddy Corey rebought skateboards and we got drunk as fuck and skateboarded around Hollywood. And we were both like, holy shit. I had a realization. I was sitting on the toilet the other day and I was like, every time I bought a new skateboard was when you were making money. Isn't that crazy?
I don't know. What is that? Are you saying that?
Like every time I went and said, I was like, I should get a skateboard. Like those moments in my life.
Yeah.
Right. So like the first time I bought a skateboard, I was probably... It was probably, I wish I could knew my, the years I was. So I'm 4 years younger than you. So I was in probably seventh or eighth grade. And that was the first time you probably started making money when you were in high school.
Yeah. And then, like 16, 17.
And
yeah.
Then again, when I was like 20, 21, 22. But like that period that I was trying to,
I like how I'm your marker of that.
Well, no, like, I talked to you
about
that.
I'm the measure of when you, is Tony making money again? I need a new skateboard. But I'm doing pretty well right now. If you want to go get a new one,
well, I have fucking four skateboards.
All right,
I just bought my nephew a skateboard.
Well, there you go. I guess that's it.
Do the I wish it had been something that my daughters had gotten into. Early, did it bum you out when your daughter stopped skateboarding? Because you're like,
it didn't bum me out. I understood, but it was, you know, it was fun. Yeah. It was super fun to get to share
now?
That with your, she's 14.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Mine's 16 and 18. And, will you let her get tattoos?
What's that?
A tattoo.
Oh, Yeah, sure.
You would?
Yeah. I mean, oh, what?
Fuck.
So my,
okay, why am I a bad
my
dad?
Oldest son, my yeah. oldest son, I'll never forget this. The day he turned 18, he texted me Black Sabbath tattoo on his arm. They just got done.
The day he turned 18.
The day he turned 18. Yeah.
I mean, what did you do?
But what am I going to do?
What are you going to do? You're going to say no. Didn't your dad?
He is emancipated.
Oh, he really got a Black Sabbath right on his arm.
Oh, well, that was the first one. I mean, then he went crazy after that.
God. Is that Riley?
That's Riley, yeah. He actually got one of my graphics. You can't see it there, but he's got one of my graphics on his arm.
Is that, wait, let me see. He's got great hair.
he cut it.
He did?
Yeah. I mean, he grows it and he cuts it. Oh, there's Zeus. That's his dog.
So I'm curious about parenting. So, because you're someone that, okay, it could be argued, I'm not even remotely in the same category as you, but we both are men that chose to do different things for a living.
Yes, I agree with you there.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
We are clearly probably at the same level of what we do. Like, I'm the best comedian ever been around. But like, do you find, like, I find myself, maybe because I know how I almost didn't make any money, getting worried for my kids where I go, just do something safe. Like, don't fucking do stupid shit. Like, she came back with this nose piercing. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And she was like, it looks cool, right? And I was like, no. And then my other daughter, Isla's like, Dad, you got to support her. I go, no, I don't. She looks like a fucking bull. Like, it doesn't, I don't like it. And then I had to be like, and then I go, can I at least get you an expensive one?
But looking cool is so subjective, and you're obviously not her demographic. So
I'm not her demographic at all. But she has this beautiful face, and then she puts an earring on in the center of it. So then that's the thing you look at.
I'm not going to try to sway your opinion. I'm just trying to give some perspective.
Yeah, but okay, but so have your kids ever done stuff where you go as a dad, you're like, no, this doesn't fucking happen in this house.
They never went to extremes with anything like that.
What about drugs or alcohol?
We've had the talks for sure.
And were you you get to be, you're a good guy. You never really partied.
I didn't, but between my wife and I, we experimented, you know, through our youth for sure.
Was like, what?
She grew up as a punk rocker in Detroit and, you know, went through her thing and I went through it. Mostly my examples are of my peers.
Yeah.
So it's like, look, you guys, I was skating with these people and they had equal potential, if not more than me. And they started partying and it was gone.
Yeah.
And it was gone.
Yeah. That is kind of crazy when you look at that, because you look at someone like Jay Adams Jay Adams, I'm only knowing this from the movie really, but he was just this like, and probably because I think Emile Hirsch plays him in the movie, and Emile Hirsch is so fucking, you just charismatic that you feel like Jay Adams had the world at his fingers, Tony Alva, like all those guys. And then they end up partying and here's the connection.
It just fades.
Here's the connection I find with stand up and skateboarding is they're both jobs that within the industry, if it looks like you're trying hard, they get mad at you. Like if it looks like you're doing the right thing, you're like, no, man, I want to get sponsored and I want to really do great in this competition. Like it seems like the way to do it was like, I don't give a fuck.
Maybe in the older days.
Now it's not like that at all.
Now there is, I think there's more respect for the hustle now.
Yeah.
Some people overdo it and some people will turn you away. Cause it's like, look at me, check this out. I did, you know, and it's almost like, okay, you don't need to hype it up so much.
Yeah.
Do your thing and we'll decide if it's good. But for sure, in terms of the people who are taking it seriously, who are competing actively, I mean, they're Nike athletes. They're going to their practice places and getting trainers. You know what I mean? In our day, in the 80s and stuff, well, no one could afford that. And also it would just be absurd because our skating was the antithesis to organized sports.
Yeah.
So you're not going to go have some trainer stretch you and have you work out to get better. Like that was absurd. But nowadays it is that serious and the stakes are high and no one is getting blasted for that. Yeah. If anything, it's like, we've come this far. The skaters are on the same level as NBA, NFL.
Oh, by far.
Do you know what I mean?
And I would say some are more popular.
Absolutely.
I know dudes, I follow the old, I end up following older dudes only because, I don't know, during Sober October, I watched a couple documentaries of guys on, what's the YouTube series that shows... it's like Latered, maybe?
Epically Latered.
Epically Latered. Mm-hmm. And I watched a bunch of guys that were big skaters in the day that maybe it's explaining what happened with their careers. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones. Who's the guy with no teeth? I know him. I followed him on...
Andy Roy.
Andy Roy. Yeah. God, he's a fucking fascinating dude.
He has teeth now.
I know. They look great. He looks like a totally different person. Yeah. He really... Yeah, he is.
He just did a meme on his Instagram that was a picture of me next to him, and it said front of the Christmas tree, back of the Christmas tree.
He looks great now. But yeah, I watched him, Bam. I'm still rooting for Bam. I don't know what's going on with Bam, but I'm still rooting for Bam. You're never going to fucking lose that place in my heart. Those moments from Jackass and like,
oh yeah.
And Viva La Bam, like the hardest I've ever laughed. This sounds silly because I met Ryan Dunn. I did a show on Travel Channel called Birth Conqueror, and Ryan Dunn auditioned to be, it was called the Conqueror series. Mm-hmm. So it was going to be Ryan the Conqueror, Dunn the Conqueror, Birth Conqueror, whoever got it. And so we all auditioned. Ryan Dunn was the coolest dude, like cool dude.
He was. Yeah. I traveled with him. I traveled with him a couple times on tour in some hard situations, and he was the coolest.
What do you mean hard situations?
Just, you know, getting into weird places, and we went on a rally and it was going through Serbia, and you know what I mean? Just things could have gone south very easily, and he was the most collected.
Yeah.
You know, he kept it together, and that was when Bam was kind of partying it up, and he kept him in line.
Really?
In those times. Yeah. Yeah, he was awesome, and I've actually seen Bam recently. I think he's living kind of in our area now, and he's, you know, he's staying straight and skating again, and I'm really happy to see him come around.
Yeah, he's a kid. He's a guy I root for because there was an episode of the two, and I talked to both of them about this when they at this audition where they were caught. They got stuck at the top of a scissor lift. Did you ever see this episode?
I don't think so.
And the two of them got up at the scissor lift, and one of the guys went down, and he like turned it off, and then they're stuck up there. And so the whole episode is these two idiots stuck at the scissor lift, and they're yelling, and no one's coming. And so it's just two guys. It's like the beauty of comedy is two guys stuck in a situation that they don't want to be there, and they're stuck in a scissor lift. And they're yelling, and finally someone comes over, and they're like, finally, can you get us down? And the guy goes, just push the button. And they're like, what? And they push the button, and it lowers. And I laughed. This is a ski lift. It's very different than a scissor lift.
If you're holding scissors on a ski lift, does that matter?
No. Do you know what's crazy is, okay, what are the difference when we talk about scoring for snowboarding, surfing, and skateboarding? Do you know that? I mean, I know Rob, whatchamacallit was trying to do like a.
You talking about Rob Machado?
No. Who? Rob Dyrdek.
Oh, his scoring. It's a format.
Yeah.
It's the scoring is always based on difficulty, consistency, use of the area, style, speed. You know, those are all the. It's more refined now because it's an Olympic sport. And definitely with Street League, Rob's league, they changed their format for street because they have a routine where it's like, you get your timed, do all, as many tricks as you can. Mm-hmm. We'll score you if you stay on. If you stay on, better score. And then there's sort of a best trick element where you get five tries and you're trying to make, I think it's 3 out of 5 attempts or something like that. I don't have the exact format, but that's when things shifted, and they used that format for the Olympic street.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which I think didn't play well to the non-skating audience, because the non-skating audience saw people trying a trick and falling, and then they're resetting for someone else. and that, do you know what I mean?
No,
they're waiting
I do.
To
I
see like
do.
They,
yeah.
they're expecting X Games action and stuff you see in video games. So that was, I understood it because it obviously is more for skaters by skaters. But I think that like it just didn't play well for the bigger audience.
Yeah, I just watched the Pipeline Masters was just happening uh-huh. a couple weekends ago, and I was watching I forget his name, Koa Rothman compete. I think I was watching him on his YouTube. Mm-hmm. Like I think he recorded his set. It was so fucking bizarre, which is something I want to talk to you about. But the and he didn't like catch any good waves, and then I went, so that's it? Like there was just no good waves game. And then I was
well,
like,
but that's half the battle with surfing. Yeah. You know, getting in position and getting at least the amount of waves to get scored in a heat for sure. Just back to the other format with skating, the cool thing about it is that when something happens, it's huge.
Yeah.
There's some crazy trick that could be something a skater's only done once or twice in his life, or maybe this is the only time they do it. So in those moments, it's massive, but in the down moments, it's hard to sit through.
Yeah. Are you following any of what's going on? By the way, Tom's been texting me all day and he's like, please have Tony watch my surfing video. He went surfing in Hawaii.
Okay.
And he was like, please have Tony. He's like, if he thinks I'm good.
Are we watching it right now?
We can do it now. He's like, if he thinks I'm good enough, will you please, please, please see if we can go surfing together? I was like, I'll ask. So this is Tom. That's Tom's mom trying to carry a camera. It's the next one. So this is Tom Segura surfing. So he looks.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's the end of the surf, I think. He's pretty squat, like he's taking a shit.
Oh, he's up, though?
He's up. And then right now is when he gets comfortable. He's like, oh, wait, maybe I could not look like a jackass. Okay. Oh, cool.
Well, he's coming off the wave there.
Yeah, he's coming off the wave. Yeah. So what do you think of Tom Segura surfing? And by the way, is it weird that he has a native dude carrying his board for him? Where he's like, yeah, you, this will be in the water. Yeah, that's not a good look. Yeah. He's like, I'm James Cook. You guys bring my stuff to shore.
What, is someone going to walk up with a suitcase behind him?
Yeah. And then they'll put out a table and pour him fresh water and cut him a mango. He really is a little bit of a fucking settler. Like, he's got settler vibes, doesn't he?
I don't know about that, but I know what... Actually, that looked like the guy carrying the board. That looked like it might have been the other guy's board. And Tom's board might have just washed it.
Oh, yeah. Would he just leave his in the water? I'm done.
No, lose it. All right. Someone strike the surfboard.
Yeah.
He could surf. Yeah. I mean, if it was sort of a beach break like that, sure.
Beach break. Do you surf?
Beach break. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you ever get scared of sharks?
No, not sharks. Just big waves.
Really?
Yeah.
It's different wiping
the hold down, man. That changes things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and the board coming back. I had the board hit me in the head one time.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Smack me in the head.
Yeah.
So bad. I was with surf instructors, by the way. I only surf with surf instructors. I never do it by myself. I always hire someone to come be in the water with me, push me into the wave. And so the guy came up and he was like, are you okay? I was like, I'm 49.
Were you bleeding?
No, but I got cracked in the fucking head.
Yeah.
Like fucking smacked. And I'm not, when I was younger, I never really was good at surf. I've never been good at anything. Like even like wakeboarding. I always was a little nervous.
Wait, didn't we have this conversation when we were on the show with Jason?
You're
wakeboarder. Yeah, you were making big claims.
By the way, I'm better than Jason.
And also, we couldn't find any video proof of it.
We couldn't find any video proof. And I have my fucking ex-girlfriend call, and she was like, he was all right. And I was like,
yeah. Oh, as we were leaving. That's right. As we were leaving.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like,
we don't have to go over that again. I think we had closure on that one.
I'd still be Jason in it. I'd still be Jason.
I actually went surfing with Jason a few weeks ago. I went right before I had my surgery, and I rode some waves like that. But we went to Waco because it's a wave
pool. The one in Texas.
Yeah, and Jason was getting up, kind of like that.
Yeah.
So
is there footage of it?
Yeah.
Find it. I want to see it. I would love to be skateboarding. For me, is a little more accessible. Because it's something you can bring with me. It's weird when I bring a skateboard on a plane because they think I'm a stepfather. I bring a skateboard and they're like, oh, someone's seeing his kids today, huh? And I was like, huh? That's mine. And they're like, sure it is.
Oh, this is
great.
Jason, I kept telling him, like, you're regular footed. You want to go right. And he's like, left, right. I don't know what the hell that means. I'm just going down the wave.
Wait, how does he not know what that means? He's skateboarding. Look at it. Can I hear this? Is this talking?
Yes.
Let me put on the headset. Oh, hey, Izzy. How the fuck did you get in here?
That's Jason trying to
learn. Go back to the beginning.
These are his first attempts. So that's me that's with you. My you look with my leg that is not connected. But look at, he got it.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And then we did this is our doubles tandem podcast wave. I was threatening to jump on his board, but I chose not to.
That's where Tom must have saw it. He was like, I want to ride a wave with Tony. And I was like, all right, I'll ask him.
Yeah, I'm down.
Okay. Well, I'll set it up. Maybe
if you guys rent out Waco, I don't want to pay for that again.
How is it expensive?
No, it's not. I mean, it is if you get it for the whole day, sure.
I'll rent out Waco.
All right.
When am I in Texas next? This won't be until March.
That's better because the water was 55 degrees.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that.
That was late December right there.
Who is your favorite surfer?
Late November.
Who's your favorite surfer? And you can't say Kelly fucking Slater. That's like saying yourself.
Oh, man. Well, John just...
John Florence is pretty... You know, I'm a bigger fan.
He does insane skate tricks at big heights. So just seeing those is what gets me hyped.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he does... And they call it different stuff... in surfing, but for what it is, he does backside stale 540s, and that's huge to me.
Backside
stale fish 540s. Back 40s. Yeah, they call it air reverse or something, and they different grab. But if you look at it for what it is, that's what it is.
I want to go. Skimboarding.
I used to skim a lot.
Have you seen what's this guy? I think his name's John Howell. Will you type in John Howell on Instagram? This kid is fucking awesome. He's got my body type and he fucking rips. Awesome. He rips. And he's offered to take me to, I guess it happens every fucking week.
In Laguna. Yeah.
Is that because of the break, you think?
Yeah, because it's shore break.
John Howell skimboard.
Yeah, we used to, I have a funny story about Victoria Skimboards.
Yep. Jonathan Howell. Well, how are you having a hard time seeing this? It's the one that says John Howell. All right. Go to his Instagram and watch his Instagram. The kid's fucking awesome. We grew up skimboarding in Tampa, but you just skimboarded.
No, you just flat. Yeah.
You just went.
Yeah. The first. Slow down. I bought a skimboard when I was, I with my paper route money, I bought a boogie skimboard, which was round.
Yeah. Was it a circle?
Circle, yeah.
I had one of those.
And then you just go and spin 360s,
yeah.
You know, in the shallow. But then I saw people doing waves and I had told my dad, I said, I want to buy a Victoria skimboard. Saved up my money again. And he drove me to three different surf shops in San Diego. I'll never forget this day. They're like, we don't carry those. Like those are specialized. You know, you got to go to the shop, Victoria in Laguna to get it. And he's like, let's go. And I was like, we're going to go to Laguna right now.
Shut up.
He's like, yeah, let's just go. And I just remember in that moment, like my dad, you know, he definitely had his challenges, but he would do anything for his kids. Yeah. And he drove me to Laguna and I picked one out. I'll never forget it. It was this maroon, had like a surfboard shape. $100 and I had a like pro skimboard.
They don't make skimboards for as big as me, I don't think. Is this Instagram?
Do. Yeah.
Yeah, Instagram's having a meltdown right now.
Oh, for real? Victoria, I reached out to, I think John, this guy hit me up. This is him. Is this him?
Yeah.
But no, this isn't him. He's no. No, that's Victoria Skimboards. John Howell is the guy I'm looking for because I only want to celebrate body to body positivity. He doesn't look like a professional skimboarder.
I'll tell you this though. This is him.
Look at him.
I'll tell you this though. And skimboarding is amazing, but you can eat shit when you're jumping on that thing in the shower. I just want to warn you of that.
What do you mean?
You'll be running and you'll throw the board down. And if you don't jump on it right, you're in the flat. Like it's when you get on the board, you're in the super shallow water, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm fine.
Okay, I just
mean...
I just want to give you a heads up on that. That's all. I've had some injuries skimboarding.
Wait, you have?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah, like bloody knees and my friend broke her ankle and yeah.
Look at this guy. By the way, just a normal looking dude fucking shredding.
Yeah, I love that side wave. That's so sick.
I love that when they catch the wave that's coming back out. I remember the first time I saw that ever was in Endless Summer in the movie theaters and they were surfing in Africa. Look at him. It's gorgeous. Look at this guy. I fucking love it. Look at him.
I never figured out that technique, the side slide to get out to the wave.
I haven't figured that out either. I expect John to teach me.
That's amazing.
Look at him. Look at this kid.
Are you ready for all that to go through the washing machine into the sand?
Yes.
All right.
My God. Look at how beautiful that is. Look at how fucking beautiful that is. I could definitely get into that. Well, I hit him up and I was like, and he was like, hey man, I think he's sponsored by Victoria. He's like, we got a skimboard for you. You'll be able to ride it. Cause I bought one at a beach store in Venice and then took it out to the beach and I broke it. Like I broke it. And I was like,
trying to jump on it?
Yeah. And it broke. And I went, oh, fuck.
That's rough.
That was really, you want to talk about making you want to sit on a bunch of kids, fucking see you. The only other thing that's been more embarrassing than that is I might have told you about this. Do you remember those couches that they'd sell online and you'd fill them with wind and then close it up real quick and then you had an air couch?
Yeah.
So I had one of those.
Oh, no.
And I was like, and I was in my front yard with my daughters and I couldn't get it to fill with air. Like you have to be really fucking quick, like, and catch the air. So I go, here's what I'll do. I'm going to grab my skateboard and I'll skate down the street with it, fill it up with air and then tie it up. Now and I only point out their color because of the way that as hard as they fucking laughed, three younger black dudes on the corner drinking Starbucks. Cause our house was right next to a Starbucks. They were just talking. I get on my skateboard and they see a grown man on a skateboard and they start laughing at me at first and I hear them and I go, well, they don't know that I fucking shred. I also have this, what looks like a fucking foil sail with me and I go to skate and I don't realize how far back on the board I am and it scoots out from under me. I land
Mr. Wilson.
I land on my back, knock the wind out of myself. And did not expect the noise I made was.
but did you catch the air for the couch?
I did not. But that was Isla's first question. Did you fill up the couch? These guys, one guy spit Starbucks out his nose and they were laughing so fucking hard. And I couldn't. And I just was like, got up, grabbed my board, walked inside. I was like, I think I just slipped a disc. So wait, how did you hurt your leg in the first place? What was the injury that hurt your leg?
My femur?
Yeah.
Oh, I was doing a McTwist.
And you just landed?
I was doing it and I didn't have the usual amount of speed that I would have. In fact, I had very little speed and and I used to be able to do that when I was young and make it work. So I thought, it'll be all right. And then next thing I know, I'm sliding across the flat bottom with my leg dangling behind me. Like I could literally feel it disconnected. And I knew... I mean, in that moment, I was still sliding when I looked up at a couple friends. Kevin was there and I was like, I broke my leg. And they go, what? And then they saw me grab it and I just tried to put it back in place out of desperation. And then I just knew I was in for the long haul right then.
For real.
Yeah.
I ran over my foot the other day on a roller skate. I'll show you the video. Paulson, I'm going to send you the video. Can you?
I do want to say, Brad Domke, who is a maestro skimboarder, he gave me one of his models recently, and I went to that spot that we saw right there with that side wave with him, and he kind of got me back into skimboarding a couple years ago, and it was awesome. He's amazing.
Where's
Brad? Look at these waves. He actually will take off on a huge wave with a skimboard on top of a longboard and then lose the longboard and then skim giant waves.
How can you do that?
I don't know. He does it. That's not the best.
Is that a skimboard?
That's a skimboard. Yeah. Yeah. He's like unlocked some.
How the fuck can you do it with no fin on it? I remember.
You see how he just dropped the longboard as he took off.
Oh,
but yeah, so he knows how to turn off without a fin. Yeah. It's amazing.
I can't do that. I remember. Do you remember the wave pools that they'd have at the one in San Diego?
Yeah,
do you remember the one?
Yeah.
I could get on that. I remember
that one was different. Oh, you're talking about the Flow Rider.
I did,
the one where it's this deep?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get really fucked up on those.
I got really fucked up on that. I got really fucked up on that. Turn Wi-Fi on. Halston, I'm airdropping it to you. So we're trying to announce my movie. And I was like, oh, easy peasy. I'll hold on. I'll get on roller skates. I'm pretty good on roller skates. I'll get on roller skates. I'll get outside the car. I'll let go of the car. And then they'll throw me a ski rope. I'll grab onto the ski rope. I'll swing behind the car, do some pretty sick moves, announce the movie. And that was my idea. Did you get the video, Halston?
And then announce the movie?
Announce the movie. Said? My movie, The Machine.
I think I heard you say, and that's the movie.
No.
And that's wow, that sounds short.
I was like, okay, so this is me. And this is our rehearsal, by the way. Right now I'm just seeing if I can roller skate next to a car. And, yeah. And I'm going, oh, this isn't that bad. This is pretty easy. Oh, you know what? Speed it up. Fucking
peasy. What is it? Oh, you're wearing goggles. There's goggles on your helmet.
Apparently, to announce a movie these days, you got to go full Tom Cruise. Carol, are you coming with me?
Fuck no.
He skydives. I do what I do best. Speedos and roller skates. All right. We just ran over the foot. Stop the car.
Oh, my God.
I ripped the wheel off.
I definitely think I broke my toes.
This is exactly what we didn't want.
Shit. Break off the too? Peter, go to urgent care right now on Fulton. Go up here, take a right.
God damn it.
How does Tom Cruise jump out of a fucking plane in South Africa and I can't roller skate next to a car?
Wait, here's your chance to announce the movie.
I was a little panicked. I just ran over my
You have our attention.
Can you turn the heat?
Yeah, no.
Just down a little.
Yeah, you're in shock.
I'm in shock. I can't tell right now if they're broken or not because they're so cold.
Right.
They're frozen.
I think they were four toes.
Oh, Jesus.
I hope to God I didn't break my fucking toes. Watch out for this car. Right here's good. I'm going to run in.
So I go to urgent care to see if they can
x-ray. The machine comes out May 25th, Memorial Day
weekend. Oh, you did it.
Yeah.
Spend it with me. Only in theaters. It's been my honor and privilege to entertain you. I'll see you at the movies.
So was that actually on your way in or when you came out?
That's on my way in. So I got there. My toes were like numb.
I presume, yeah.
And I was panicking because at first I thought I ripped them off. Because I was like,
They're gone.
What?
They're gone.
My toes are gone. They're ripped off inside this boot. The only other time that happened to me, I got hit in the dick with a snowball one time. And I thought that it exploded in my pants. I was in Anchorage. It's called Yukigassen. And I reached in my pants with my hand. My hand was cold because I was throwing snowballs, right? And I couldn't find it. And it's not that big to begin with, but I was like, I thought it exploded in my pants. And I thought I was going to find two loose toes in a sock. And so when we got to urgent care, I was like, fuck it. I was wiggling them. And I was like, oh, they're not that bad. And then they're like, well, you should go get an x-rayed. And I was like, I don't know if this is the outfit to go get an x-rayed in.
It's perfect. What do you mean? Nothing's in the way.
Yeah. And then everyone started laughing. And they're like, just go into urgent care and say, announce your movie. And I went, turned around. And I go, my movie's coming out Memorial Day weekend. I'll see you in the theaters. And I just started walking backwards with the roller skate. And all anyone was saying was, I hope you get hit by a car. But that feeling of when you get hurt, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's in that moment when I broke my leg, I had never broke. I broke my elbow and my thumb and a rib. But this was like, oh, I'm stuck.
This is the biggest injury you ever had?
For sure. Yeah. And it was more like, oh, this is such a huge thing. There's no pushing through it.
Yeah.
Like I'm stuck here on the bottom of the ramp until an ambulance comes for sure.
Shit. You had to sit there and wait for it.
Yeah. Yeah. There was no choice. I mean, I was cut off.
God damn it. And then how long was it until they came and who was with you? And then did you cry?
No, I just was more, everything hit me all at once of the magnitude of it. And in terms of what it's going to take to try to get back from this. So that was hard to accept in that moment. But my first thoughts were, please get me to this one hospital because I know the head of ER there and he's going to line me up with the best surgeon.
Yeah.
So I actually had to pass two hospitals on the way to this one.
Oh, really?
And the ambulance driver kept saying, like, you sure you want to go there? It's going to be, you know, another 20 minutes. I'm like, yes, please. And
were you in, like, insane pain?
I was only when they tried to move me. So once they got me in a position, I could deal with it.
Yeah.
But when I did finally get to the hospital, I guess they have to check your neck and your back and everything else just for protocol.
Yeah.
When they tried to roll me over for that, I had my leg in a place where it was stable, not stable, but it was sitting in one place, not moving. It was manageable. And they had to roll me over. And when they rolled me over, my leg stayed behind. And that was by far throughout this whole process, the worst pain I was in.
I remember I fell off a waterfall one time. And the lady, I landed at the bottom of the waterfall. The guy that's supposed to hold the rope, so it's called, I guess it's called the golden tail. I don't know about rock climbing. But there's a guy that holds a rope, so if you start to fall, he pulls it tight, and then your line goes tight, and you don't fall.
Oh, right.
He wasn't paying attention. He had one fucking job. And so I land 15 feet, 20 feet onto my back on a rock. I land on a rock. I think I've broken my back. I have to crawl 210 feet out of a ravine on my hands and knees. I get to the top. Then they had to they got a ATV with a swing on it. Oh, yeah. It was like, it was the most, and it hurt so bad. Get me in the ambulance, get me to the hospital. And then the lady goes, I'm going to have to give you Dilaudid, which is like pharmaceutical heroin. And I told her, I said, listen, I have a pretty addictive personality. Like, I don't think Dilaudid's the thing I want right now. And she leans in and she goes, honey, I'm going to have to turn you around a bunch. It's going to hurt real bad unless I give you this. So let's just take the Dilaudid. I was like, okay. And then she goes, wait, are you the boy on Rachel Ray? And I was like, I am. She goes, you got that giggle? And I said, I do. She goes, can you give me a giggle? I said, can you give me some Dilaudid? I'll see if we can.
I assume you got it right away.
I got it. And then I thought I would write a poem. Because I'd never had heroin before. And so I got my phone.
Did it make you nauseous? That made me. They gave it to me when I had my injury and it made me nauseous.
No, it just made my face warm. Actually, okay. I was going
to
write.
I had to take the Zofran to stop from puking.
Zofran, is that an anti-nausea medicine? Yep. For real?
Yep.
And so you never did any drugs in your life?
No. Because I saw my peers burn out.
Yeah.
And skating was so important to me and keeping a high level of skating kept me so motivated and my mental health and everything else that it was like, I can't do that because I know it's going to take away from my skating. You know, it wasn't that I was like, no, I'm straight edge. You know, it was just more like, I see what's happening over here and I can't let my skating fail.
Do you think that was in part because of the way your dad was? Like, since you had this cool dad that was just all about his kids and almost, is there a part of you that didn't want to let your dad down?
I don't know if it was my dad. I definitely tried to keep some distance from my dad because he was so involved in what I was doing.
Oh, that's right. He was judging contests.
He wasn't judging setting them up. He was helping to set them up and organize some events.
Is your dad still alive?
No, he passed away in 95.
Oh, really?
He got to see the first X Games.
Really?
Yeah, that was huge. That was huge. Because for him, he loved what I did. He loved, and you know, to his credit, supported all of his kids. My sister was in a band. He used to be like the roadie for the band. My brother grew up surfing. He would drive him Dawn Patrol out to surf. And so when I started skating, he'd drive us to all the events. Like, all my friends' parents didn't want them skating, so they relied on my dad for rides to the park.
Really?
Yeah. So for him, but also mainstream sports was also huge. He loved watching football and baseball and stuff. And so when he saw skateboarding on ESPN, for him, that was it. We made it.
It was real.
We made it. Yeah. I mean, everything has exploded since then. But
where did he grow up?
Billings, Montana.
Really?
Yeah. And then he, he had a rough childhood and very poor, and then joined the Navy for World War II.
And that's how he ended up down in San Diego?
Yep.
Really? Mm-hmm. Did he have any tattoos?
No.
None? You know David Spade can skateboard?
Yeah. I doubled him in Police Academy 4. It's the only job I've been fired from.
For real?
Yeah.
Wait, why did you get fired?
Because from the time that I got hired for the part, And the time that it shot, I went through a growth spurt and I was too tall.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Spade was here the other day and he was like, he's really like, he pulled up his skateboard. He broke Bose's wrist skateboarding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he's really into it. And then I brought you up and he was like, oh yeah, I talked to him about it. And I was like, why wouldn't he tell me a story about.
Well, I don't think he wants to tell people that I got fired for being taller than him. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Why do you like comedy? Why? Because like, you're friends with Chris Rock, right?
Yeah. I mean,
didn't you guys go to dinner the other day or something?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. I saw him at breakfast. Yes.
What do you mean you saw him?
We were
sleepover?
He nudged
me. Hey, Chris, you're still here?
He nudged me for breakfast.
I would pay money to watch Chris Rock fuck. I would pay money to watch Chris Rock fuck.
We were staying at the same hotel and it's a very small breakfast area and we were having breakfast near him and then he came over and started talking to us.
Does he know anything about skateboarding? He seems like he would. Chappelle was a skateboarder.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit, yeah. And I've seen him through the years. I mean, I saw him when I was, I don't know, like 20 plus years ago. I saw him perform.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a fan of his for a long time.
But yeah, that was probably when he did Bring the Pain.
It was right around then, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Really? So what is it, what do you like about comedy?
Because
you're doing a podcast now.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy the podcast?
I do, yeah. It's fun. I mean, between Jason and I, we have such ridiculous life experiences that...
You really do.
A lot of people just can't even fathom that they're real for the most part. But we tend to find the humor in them too, especially in the struggles.
Yeah.
Where our life was... You know, we were doing whatever we could to try to get by and enduring ridiculous things or injuries. And people are just like, that sounds absurd. And to us, it was just normal.
Yeah.
So I do enjoy it. What do you like about comedy? I mean, laughter is it's the medicine of life, right?
Yeah. It's so funny. I don't know if I wasn't a comic, if I'd like comedy.
I don't know. You can't like comedy, but I
a lot of people don't like it. Go to Tom's shows.
My family was always very witty and sarcastic, so you had to keep up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you had kids in the family, so it's like a big
I was the youngest one too.
Yeah.
And yeah, and so I just kind of learned it. And my dad was funny too. He was edgy.
Really?
Yeah.
God, I kind of wish I'd. It's funny there should be like just a podcast about dads. Because, like, when you like Tom's dad is passed, and when Tom tells stories about his dad, the one thing I'm bummed at is I never met his dad. Like, he just is a really interesting guy. Well, I'm not certain liked me, but he was a really interesting guy. He said to Tom right before he passed, and this sticks with me. And I don't know if Tom's shared this on the podcast. So if he hasn't, you guys can edit this out, but it sticks with me. It's so heavy that his dad was cool with it. But he said to him, buddy, life goes on. Don't take too long on this. Life goes on. I'm just like, motherfucker, I don't think I can be that dad. I think I'm going to be like, no one forget me.
Oh, yeah.
Be with me every day.
Yeah, my dad was, he died of cancer. And in his, what we knew were his last days, I was supposed to be on a skate tour. My brother was supposed to go to an event, a surf event. He was the editor of Surfer Magazine at the time.
Your brother?
So he was going to a surf event in South Africa. And my dad told both of us separately, you cannot sit around and watch me die. You got to do your thing.
Really?
You have to, yeah. And so I went on tour. My brother went to South Africa, J-Bay. And we both got the call. I got the call like a week into my tour. He got the call when he arrived and turned around and flew home.
Wow. That's got to be a long flight home.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I flew home from Woodward Skate Camp.
Woodward Skate Camp. Where's that?
Yeah. In Pennsylvania.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And was that like just a stop on the tour?
It was. Yeah. Yeah.
Shit. Shit. I haven't lost my dad yet. I've been waiting for it. Like, I know it's going to happen. Like, I'm waiting for the phone call. Sometimes I get a phone call at a weird time and I go,
yeah,
this is it.
Well, my dad, he was not healthy. He did not take care of himself. His diet was terrible. He had high cholesterol. He had two heart attacks before I was born. And so we were just expecting him to have a heart attack. Yeah. So we expected that call at any moment. And then when he got cancer, it was like, what? That, you know, that just didn't.
What kind of cancer?
Lung cancer, but not, wasn't a smoker. And we came to find out later that many of the
Navy guys
on his aircraft carrier got the same cancer.
Shit.
And they were, most of them had been gone, but there was a sort of collective, I don't know if it was a class action suit, but there was a collective thing going around that was like, yeah, everyone had the same thing.
God. Yeah, Tom's dad got it. I feel weird talking about Tom's dad with him not here, but Tom's dad got it through being in the military.
Right.
Yes, that's when everyone was disposable. They didn't give a fuck about anyone.
And asbestos was rampant.
Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine living the life you've lived with doing your, not technically, but really doing your own thing? Can you imagine the amount of free will that men had like 50 years ago when they went into the military, or 70 years ago, and they just were like, you guys will storm that hill? And
right.
I think sometimes I go, but what if I die? Like, and they go, I don't give a fuck about that.
Yeah. It's your honor.
Yeah. Oh fuck. I couldn't have done it.
Well, if you got drafted, you didn't have a choice, but
I would have just ran away.
My dad really didn't have many choices in life.
What do you mean?
I mean, he kind of grew up with he wasn't even sure. He didn't think it was his mom. And he had a heavy childhood. And so that was his escape from his surroundings and from Montana.
Fuck. So you think about, I guess that's the tax you pay, is ended up having a pretty great life with kids that all did what they wanted to do. He raised like great fucking kids.
Yeah.
And that's the taxes he had to fucking... How old was he when he passed?
He was 65.
God damn it, that's fucking young. Dana Carvey's 67.
Wow.
I just was with Dana Carvey. That's why. It's
an oddly specific person to pick out, but okay.
So when you got 1 month until your leg gets fixed?
In my dream scenario, yes. I was expecting, so I went in for my x-ray. I have been like counting the days. I mean, literally each day that came up, I'd yell at my wife in the house like 5 days.
Yeah.
3 days. And you know, at one point I just started playing 3 days from Jane's Addiction.
Oh, what a great fucking song.
She's like, yeah, I know, it's 3 days. And then I got to that is not my current x-ray. But it looks very similar to that. The gap is closing. And so I expected that he was going to tell me, oh, it's you're good, dude, the bone. And then he's looking at it. And I can see the gap in it when he's looking at it. And I'm like, what about that gap? And he's like, yeah, everything's lined up. I was like, yeah, but what about the bone connection? He's like, we wouldn't see that yet. Like, what's wrong with you? And I was just thinking like, well, that gives me relief, but also, damn it.
Yeah.
You know, I was just hoping for that.
That fucking,
for the good word. Is that
the old one?
So what happened was the one on the left is when it first moved, when I knew there was a problem.
Yeah.
And then that's the progression of it. And then the one on the right is how far away. It just started moving further and further away. And my limp was really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, when we went to Waco from that surf trip, we had to make a connection through Dallas. And I was with three of my kids. And you know, when you're at the gate, but they're not letting you off, and you know your connection's getting tighter and tighter. And it got to be where everyone's like, okay, when that thing opens, we're running. I'm like, we're running? I can't. And so the thing opens, all my kids start running through the terminal, and I am hobbling.
Yeah.
Like trying to go fast. It was pathetic. Like, and I just told them, look, if you guys get to the gate and it's not closed, tell them I'm coming. And they did.
And so you just show up late, sweating, one leg fucking swollen.
Yeah,
just
dead dangling behind me, dragging. It. Yeah. Like I'm in some combat movie.
So will you take it slow when it's totally healed, or will you just get back?
No, I'd learn my lesson. Oh, I learn my lesson? Yeah.
You didn't do any, like, that was the one thing, like, you know, have you ever seen Tom break his arm and break his leg?
No.
Oh.
Should I have? What, we're watching that now?
Yeah, we are.
Why do we need to watch that?
You want to see this? So this is the day that changed Tom forever, okay? Forever. He calls me up. He goes, hey, man, we should play basketball together. We'll do it for like a, actually, I think it was my idea. I was like, we should do a thing with this kid, Tristan, that we love.
I don't know if I want to watch that.
Oh, it's pretty great. So this is Tom. We started doing a dunk contest.
I'm really glad my eyes are bad. So I didn't see it in great detail.
So this is him trying to dunk.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. All right. I know what happened right there.
You know exactly what happened?
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah. Yeah. That was his tibula, right?
His, it popped. Yeah. And then he landed on his arm and broke his humerus in half, and it spun in a circle.
That was bad. No, we don't need to see it again. I'm not a fan of that stuff. Look at his arm. It's, yeah.
Now, the best thing to do in that moment is to move it back to its regular position.
Yeah.
Because if you keep watching, you'll see that his best friend Bert
No, no, you didn't.
I did. I was Tony.
Why are we watching?
We're in trauma. Where is trauma,
you're
Tony?
Fired.
We're in trauma, Tony.
You're fired.
Hit pause. No one was thinking what they're
you're
fucking.
You're liable.
No, not liable. The doctor said it was the best thing that could have happened.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
because it was a spiral fracture.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's, yeah, sure. And so.
And you tried to unspiral it.
All I thought was, I didn't know it was broken. I was like, oh, his arm's going the other direction. And I was like.
So what, you thought it was dislocated?
I just was like, no. I was like, oh, buddy, you're, put let me back. Put your arm back so yeah, it doesn't.
Okay.
So I think it's going to hurt if it's
I
that
am
way.
Never getting hurt around you.
I mean, some doctors have said it's the best thing that could have ever happened.
Did he say that gave him relief when you did that?
He wasn't talking. He was going, call Christina.
Wow.
Yeah. I regret a lot of my behavior that day.
I'm doing their show.
When?
In this weekend.
In
Austin.
In Austin?
Yeah.
When are you going to Austin?
On Sunday.
Oh, fuck. I'm flying down tonight.
You are?
Hey, you can hop on a jet with me.
Oh, man.
You should have.
What an offer. Jeez.
Yeah. I'll be drinking on that jet. I can promise you. Fucking 7 o'clock at night. We get in at 1 a.m. And then we're doing Two Bears tomorrow for 2 episodes. And then I fly back at 3 p.m. back here, and then I fly to Oslo.
Ooh, Oslo's insane.
Yeah, do what? You have any idea of things fun to do? Things to do in Europe? How many times have you been to Europe?
Oh, many dozens.
Really?
Yeah.
What are some fun things to do in Scandinavia?
Just go up to the mountains. You got to see the mountains for sure.
Really?
Yeah. There's some right outside of Oslo, just like an hour of drive that are insane. And but Oslo's beautiful.
Oslo's great. We're going to Copenhagen. We're going to Sweden, Stockholm. We're going to Berlin. We're going to Antwerp, Amsterdam. Maybe I'll bring a skateboard with me.
There's plenty of skate parks.
Really?
Yeah. There's a good one in Stockholm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the one in Butler, Ohio?
I don't think so.
Butler, Ohio. It's like a adventure camp for kids.
Yeah.
And so it's Butler, Ohio. It's not Oxford.
Wait, is that the... Is that the
Ohio Dream? Dreams.
Ohio Dreams. Yes, yeah. I have been there. Yes.
This fucking place is awesome.
We went there. So one of our skaters, we're on tour. Kevin went with that giant slide.
Yeah.
Oh, that was.
Yeah. So one of our skaters, we were on tour. I don't remember what city we were in, but it was maybe a couple hours from there. And he's like, hey, check out this place out. This is close by. Like, this is close by. I go, what is that? It's crazy water slide. You just launch into the water. And I was like, that sounds cool. He's like, can we go there? I go, when? He goes, after the demo? Like, you want to just hop in the car after the demo, drive 2 hours to that place? How? It's not even open. Like, we were in the fall. And he goes, they'll open for us. They'll open for us. See, he's already done he's already done all the
legwork. I've done that slide.
Yeah, so we go and... They are expecting us to go and skate.
Oh, and you guys are like, can you turn on the slide, please?
We're like, no, I mean, they knew we wanted to do that too.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was very much like, here's our skate park right over. Yeah. It's over here in this building.
Right?
Yeah, it was good.
It's great.
Yeah. I mean, but we were on a skate tour. We had just done a big skate demo. We were all pretty sore from that. And we just wanted to do that.
Yeah.
On the water slide.
I did the outdoor. So they have an outdoor skate park too. And this is at my height of skating. Like when I'm skating the most. And mostly because it was in our neighborhood and I used to skate from place to place. I think you can find me doing the slide at Ohio Dreams.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Just fat as fuck launching into the air. They were like, how much do you weigh? Because we want to make sure that you're going to not exceed the length of the pool.
That's not there.
But so I go on their outdoor skate park and it just rained. And I started getting a little confident, a little cocky. and it's a steel ramps.
It's the worst.
And
there's no friction.
None. And the board, whoop,
yeah.
And I land on my shoulder, knock the wind out of myself, just, eh. And these kids are just watching me. They're like, Mister. And I'm like on a skate park game called Mister.
Are they really calling you Mister?
Mister? You need to put a helmet on, Mister, if you're going to try these things. Oh.
But shout out to Ohio Dreams because they were super cool, very accommodating. They let us run wild on that slide, and it was a blast.
They were awesome to us, we had a fucking blast there. We ended up doing the camp with the kids, waking the kids up, taking them out to the cool thing. Yeah. It was funny shit.
If we were there during summer months, we definitely would have.
You'd fucking. Do you understand the responsibility that it is to when kids see you?
The responsibility,
Does that like weigh on you, or do you think about it, or do you just you're just Tony?
I don't put on some persona. I just do what I do. I think having kids gave me perspective on, you know, that your actions can have can resonate.
Yeah,
and that you want to be someone to emulate, hopefully. But also just growing up as a kid, an impressionable kid that looked up to skaters and having awesome experiences with them and super terrible experiences with them,
yeah,
where they pass you off or they're a dick to you. Or like one time I literally got spit on and stuff like that. It weighs on you so heavily. So when I was in a position of someone that they're looking at and maybe looking up to,
yeah,
I was never going to be like that. Cause it had such a profound effect on me. But also like, I'm so honored that people care what I do or that they recognize what I do and that I still get to do it at my age. Like none of that is lost on me. So I approach it with a sense of gratitude where it's just like, this is amazing that I get to do this and kids are stoked to see me. Like I want to go up and talk to all of them, high five and everything. Like,
yeah,
it's not a job.
It's not. Yeah. I can imagine that. Yeah. And I bet in a business or in an industry where all parents think all the people that come here just come here to smoke pot and drink 40s on the side of a ramp, to see a dude like you who's not a fuck up.
Like, but I'm not an anomaly in that sense.
Well, now you're not. But back then you were.
I don't. Yes and no. There were enough of us.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. All right. So here's my thing. This is what I think we're going to do. Me and Tom are going to do a surf competition.
Okay.
In Waco.
In Waco. Okay.
In Waco.
Yeah.
We'll bring you out.
I'm down.
You're down?
Yeah. Cause I feel like by the time this happens, my leg will actually be functioning.
And yeah. I bet it will be.
I'll get to surf again.
We'll bring Jason Ellis out too.
Oh, that'd be great.
What do you like about Jason Ellis?
You know what?
What?
They have wakeboarding there. Just saying.
Done, son. By the way, I'll blow out my fucking knee to beat Jason Ellis. Yeah. I will blow out my fucking knee. I will. You want to see fucking Air Israelis? What are they called? Just like, I'll be skinny as shit then because I should be on steroids. So I'll be fucking jacked.
Wait, why are you going to go on steroids?
But testosterone. I'm going to do testosterone replacement therapy.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting for my cardiologist. I'm waiting for my test results to come back for my testosterone. He hasn't called me, which is kind of bothering me.
Like, for someone who hates the doctor, you are definitely very anxious about that phone ringing from your doctor.
I think about death every fucking day.
Okay.
Every day when I wake up, the first thing I think about is death. You don't think about any of that shit.
I try not to let it weigh on me.
It weighs on me so heavy. I lay in bed sometimes and I think one day.
Maybe it's time to make a positive change.
What is it? Name it.
Not like, to quote you, eat like shit and drink too much. No, that's out of the question.
Well, I don't know how to do it.
That was out of the question for my dad too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how much did your dad weigh?
He was pretty big.
Like my size?
Bigger, right? Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Bigger. But also we actually tried to have an intervention with him about his eating habits because we just thought he was going to have a heart attack. And you know, we're just like, oh, we should, you know, you gotta, we'll try to supplement this. And he goes, look, I would rather die earlier happily eating this stuff than change my eating habits. And it was kind of like my brother and my sisters and I were like, what do we do?
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, the question is, everyone, as much as you want to try to say you know how long you're going to live, you don't. Life's not guaranteed. Right. I go to the doctor. We run through, and he tells me, he goes, I think your testosterone's fucked. And he goes, he tells me that. He goes, you've been coming in. You're staying the same weight. You're saying you're working out. Your heart's in great shape. Your blood pressure's in great shape. So I'm assuming my blood pressure was 117 over 77 the other day when I went in. He goes, all your liver enzymes, I'm a little high, like 37. It should be 34, but it's out of the scale. It's not that bad. And he goes, I think I'm going to change your statins. But he goes, I think if you're saying you're doing it, my wife's there. He knows I'm not lying. He goes, if you're saying you're working out and you're traveling with your trainer and you're not losing weight, it might be your testosterone. You might be fucked. That, for me, I go,
no, it's like an aha moment.
Give me something to fucking fix it. Because yeah. I worked out hard as shit today. And I honestly, I'd put a fucking skate ramp in my backyard if I knew I could fucking do verts. I would lose so much weight. Just do it all day long, like when you were a kid.
Yeah.
That's the beauty. You know that you live the life that everyone wants to try to recapture. Everyone's looking to recapture this moment when you were a kid where you can get on a bike and ride 5 miles to your friend's house and not be winded.
Yeah, yeah.
Not be like, how much fucking longer?
Yeah.
Like, you live that life where you go, I'm just going to grab my skateboard, put on a fucking helmet. I'm gonna just have fun today.
Yeah, I mean, I get that perspective for sure. I work at it too.
I'm sure it's a job.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
But at times when you feel terrible, you're on tour, the terrain is not good, and it's like, okay, perform. Let's see all that crazy stuff we see on videos. And it's like, this ramp or this park is not good.
Yeah.
It's like, so what? Here we are now. Entertain us.
Yeah. Fuck. All right. Let me see. I wish I had video of me surfing so you could really judge the two and see who's better.
Of between who?
Me and Tom.
Oh, okay. I think you're talking about Jason.
No, Jason. Jason's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
For a guy. Like, but he should be. He's a professional fucking skateboarder.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that is a little sideways. I don't think you're going to find video of me surfing. What?
You just went to Hawaii.
I know, but I don't think you'll find video of me surfing.
Oh, I thought you guys did maybe. Like a vlog thing.
No, I don't think we did.
With you in Georgia?
I snowboard pretty aggressively. I've always been into board sports. I don't know, for whatever reason, that was what was cool when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm going to call Tom real quick.
And how is Tom's recovery?
You know, honestly, that day changed his life because I'm not going to speak for Tom, but I will. I think at that moment, he called me that day and he goes, you know, they say the number one way men over 40 hurt themselves is playing basketball. And I was like, dude, we're not going to go that hard. And he's like, yeah, you're right. That was before.
Oh, yeah.
And then we went there, he blew out his knee, broke his arm and it happened. And everyone walked in his thing and they were like, oh man, a guy your size, what were you doing playing basketball?
Wow.
And I think it fucked with his head. And now he has been working out. He followed all his recovery to a T. He's had like 4 or 5 surgeries on that arm because there was nerve damage in that arm from the break. He said he's done everything and he's now lost. He's like 205 pounds. He was 270 in that video. He's 205 pounds. He looks amazing, almost unrecognizable, but it's all because of that moment. It was like a real wake up call of like, life isn't guaranteed. Your fucking mobility is so important. And literally he is, I mean, he's a little bit, I mean, I bust his balls all day long, but he's an inspiration to me. He sent me a picture of him in Hawaii. Take a look at this. You're going to go, that's not the same fucking
guy.
But
his leg is fully healed.
Kind of. I think so. I mean, I don't know if you ever really, I don't know how, I think his leg is, I think his arm is. But I think he's always going to have like when I pulled off my triceps, I can bench more than I've ever benched, but I definitely notice it. There's a difference. Like, I don't think you ever fully recover from something that traumatic from him. I mean, I don't know. Do you think you'll have like 100% recovery?
I'm not really going to accept anything else. So yeah,
I guess you go, huh? That's what we get. I'm going to see if I can find this picture of Tom. Look at this. Now you remember how fat he was in that picture when he was laying on the ground, right?
Yes.
Look at that guy. It's not even the same guy, right?
Yeah.
It's not even the same
guy. Is that Laird Hamilton?
Yep. I mean, it's very relatable in stand-up as a guy who's jacked and rich. A lot of people are like, man, I want to be friends with Joe Pesci. All right, I'm going to call Tom, and that's how we'll end the episode. I appreciate you doing this, buddy.
Hey, my pleasure.
You are the best, and it's so cool to fucking be able to talk to you like this, because yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm a fan of all board sports, but skateboarding is the most accessible for me. And then you're going to teach me how to fucking kickflip. All right, let's call Tommy. Ollie, fuck you.
I mean, if you could try a kickflip, but that might go the way of Tom.
All right. We'll FaceTime him. No, we'll leave a message because I guarantee you he's flying today.
Okay.
What's your rest of your day look like?
I'm just driving home, San Diego.
Really? Hey, Tom, I'm with Tony Hawk. I did what you asked me. I showed him the video of you surfing.
And playing basketball.
And playing basketball. He thinks you're a much better surfer than basketball player. Here's the deal, buddy. Surf Champ Challenge. We go to Waco. We rent out the pool. Tony's in. We'll rent out the pool for the day. We have the Surf Champ Challenge coming up. Your dream's coming true. You get to surf with Tony Hawk.
We're doing it.
I made it happen for you, big guy.
I got to invite Jason, too.
And Jason Ellis. We got the pool for the podcast. Fucking day. Let's invite Rogan. Invite Rogan. Okay. And tell Rogan invites Kelly Slater. Fuck. Why don't we just go to Kelly Slater's fucking place? Tell Rogan to call Kelly Slater.
That's a taller order, but I'm down.
Waco Surf Park it is. We're going to have corn dogs for dinner. All right. I love you, buddy. Bye. All right.
Kelly's wave is, you know, that's the premier wave, just so you know.
Is it?
Yeah. It's just, it's.
You only get like 15 minutes on the wave by her.
Well, you can rent it for the day. It's much more than Waco.
Give me a price point.
Yeah. I know it's over 50 grand for the day.
What the fuck? Are you fucking kidding me? No. How much is Waco? Like, it's got to be 1,000.
Closer to, depending on what you do, how long it is, 10 to 15.
10 to 15?
Yeah.
Well, there's no way. Tom's cardio's for shit. There's no way he's going to last for fucking a whole day. We get it for a solid hour.
But also the Kelly wave, it's a different technology. So you at one wave every 5 minutes.
What do you mean?
One wave comes through every 5 minutes.
Did you got to wait 5 minutes for a fucking wave?
Yeah. And if you miss it, back in the line. When you catch it, it's amazing.
Have you done
it's
that wave?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait, have I seen you do that
wave? Yeah, probably. Yeah. 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 I mean, it barrels every time.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it better than the ocean?
I liken it to a skate park. Like it's a skate park in the water. You can rely on it to be the same every time. You can learn tricks because you know, this is exactly how it's going to go. In the ocean, it's like you got to try to read the wave and wait for the moment, which in and of itself is amazing, but it's much more spontaneous. And Kelly's wave is like, all right, it's going to throw right now. Get ahead of it.
Yeah.
Get in it. Or this is the spot to do an air.
That's crazy. One of the things that Coa Rothman said when he was doing the Pipeline Masters is he said, I didn't realize how little I knew. I'm paraphrasing Ko, I apologize. But he goes, I didn't realize how little I knew this break. He goes, when no one's in the water, I don't know where to go. He's like,
oh, right.
He was like, when no one's in the water, I'm just going like, where the fuck is it?
Yeah, you got to line yourself up on the coast.
Yeah, yeah. And he was like, it was, he goes, I still got it, but it was like, it was challenging. I thought that was like, oh, fuck.
See, that my perspective is I'm not a fan of huge waves because of just getting caught in them.
And dying.
And so whenever I've been to a heavy spot, I am always looking at the coast to line up because I don't want to be caught inside.
Yeah.
Because I've been caught inside on big waves and it's traumatic.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever done tow-in surfing?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that scary? I would think it would not seem as scary.
It's surprisingly less scary because you end up so far ahead of the wave once it breaks that it feels like you're outrunning it.
It's almost like a lap dance. Like you're just in and out of there. And then if you come in your pants, no one tells anybody. Right? Is that what it's like?
I don't know. I can't say I've experienced both. So.
All right. We'll go to a strip club and wave at Waco to end the night. There's a great one called Jaguars. We should get Chip and Joanna to do this with us. You know, the fucking renovators. They live in Waco.
You know what? Every time I go, that's what people say.
Chip and Joanna are like the biggest thing in Waco.
I know.
They turned this town that Terry Schiavo. What was the name of the guy that shot up all the people, burned his people up?
Oh.
Christopher Watkins. Yeah.
No.
Terry Schiavo was the person who was a vegetable.
Terry Schiavo wasn't Terry Schiavo. It was Jesus Christ. I gotcha. Terry Muskolki. That's him. Yeah. How the fucking that you're not going to find. They're not going to put it on Wikipedia's. It's got a zoo. This is where all those the Club Davidians,
Branch Davidians.
Branch Davidians.
Yeah, that's
Koresh. David Koresh. Where were you when David Koresh, when that happened? Do you remember where you were? I was in my fraternity house, and I'm having no frame of reference for anything of what it was about. And I watched it.
It looked very confusing and chaotic on TV.
It's back when we used to believe the media. All right. How would I say that?
Aren't you the media?
I guess I am.
Oh, how the turntables.
My daughter, Georgia, I'm going to wrap this podcast up. I swear to God. My daughter, Georgia, was taking, she's wanted to major in media in college. And I go, that's fucking ridiculous. And she goes, why? I go, because the media is fucking gone, baby. Why would you do the fucking media? I go, the media is not, doesn't exist anymore. She goes, well, I think it's interesting. I go, okay, well, I'm not going to change you, but whatever you want to do.
But that's such a broad term now. You can't.
Then she said to me, yeah, it's, Leanne goes, yeah, she's finishing up her work. She's got to post her podcast. I go, podcast? What the fuck does she have a podcast for? She goes, it's the media. I said, what?
Yeah.
And Georgia came up to me. I go, you have a podcast? She goes, yeah, it's for school. I go, why would you do that? And she goes, because it's media, Dad. And I went, podcasts are media? And she goes, you're a part of the media. You didn't know that?
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, I'm a part of the media? And she goes, oh, yeah. She goes, you're just thinking Rogan.
NBC,
yeah.
CBS.
Yeah, she goes, we talk about your buddy Joe Rogan in class. And I went, for real? She was like, oh, my God. Can't imagine.
My son Keegan is doing media as well.
Is he doing podcasting and stuff? Oh, Boulder.
Yeah, but he's editing videos and stuff. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But media.
Tell him to pull creating out fucking media. College right now. I'll pay him fucking $250,000 a year. It's the best fucking. If I had a kid right now, I'd go learn how to do graphic design and editing.
He edits.
God damn it. That's so fucking valuable. Yep. Good editors are so hard to come by. And once you find one, you got to lock them down. It's like a woman. It's like a woman. Once you find the right one, you got to cut the top off your condom, wear it like a wristband, and get her pregnant. That's what Tony Hawk wants you to leave on. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest skater in the world.
Thank you.
Tony Hawk, thank you. Speedy recovery.
Thank you very much.
Surf Champs, Waco, Texas.
Yeah, also Hawk versus Wolf, our podcast.
Check out Hawk versus Wolf. It's fantastic podcast. We'll do
Hawk versus Wolf and Two Bears, One Cave. Surf Off, coming soon.
I love it. I love it. And I get and, spring. You get and you get points for the least amount of clothes. You know, Jason and I will be fucking naked.
Oh, Jason, if you could be more than naked, Jason would be it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I bet Jason and I are the same. You and Tom are the same.
Okay.
We should have you and Tom versus me and Jason.
Okay. Sounds good.
I love you, brother. Thank you for doing
Thank
this.
Thank you, man.
Bert and Tom. Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.